listen, I shouldn't say I don't listen to timelines, but my goal is to get back as soon as possible. And when I feel like I can help the team, then I'll come back. And at this point, I feel good enough to help out and just keep going that way. There's a lot to it. It's not, there's obviously functionality and pain levels and pain tolerance. And right now it's in a good spot. So just taking it day by day. The biggest thing, you don't want any long-term thing, especially after what happened last time. I think at this point we're confident that it's just a listening to your body type of thing, and then hopefully shouldn't draw on and make anything worse.
He's a tough customer. And he's obviously got a big impact on our locker room, and we'll see. He looks really good out there, actually. He's skating well and moving the puck and doing Shea things out there.
I think his improvement has been unbelievable. And at the same time, the swelling's gone down. I'm not going to tell you he doesn't feel any pain, but like I said, he's a pretty special athlete. He plays through a lot. Medically, they don't seem to think that if he's capable of handling that, there should be no issues of him playing.
My phone blew up with a ton of text messages, and I had no idea what anyone was even talking about. And then obviously saw the doctor, and then kind of found out after I saw the doctor what had happened. So just kind of weird. Obviously didn't really... You know, all these people were telling me something that I didn't even know yet, but I don't know. It's just a weird situation because I didn't even know anything yet, and people were telling me that I was done.
Coming to you live-ish from the snowy hills of the Eastern Townships, you've tuned into 88.9 CJMQ. I'm your host, Matt McRae, and welcome to the show. That is Wolverine, that is Dad, that is Shea Weber, the... ever injury prone, yet recovering Shea Weber, lower body injury be darned, 4 to 6 weeks. He's ready to go now. We heard Shea Weber, we heard Carey Price, we heard Claude Julien. As it's not great news in Habland, but Weber, if his foot is still attached to the ankle and his leg, he will be up for some hockey. Welcome to the show as we continue on a beautiful Wednesday morning here, a little more snow. Yo-yo temperatures, Katy Perry-like conditions. It's hot and it's cold. It's yes and it's no. We're getting snow. We're getting sunshine. Welcome to February in the Eastern Townships and welcome to the show. Without further ado, we are going to jump right into our first segment today, which is First and 10. I've got an envelope here with the 10 hottest topics from the week that was in sports. Number one, sticking with the Montreal Canadiens, is Shea Weber Wolverine? Yes, I think so. I think it's clear that something is wrong in his foot, but basically Weber's saying there that his pain threshold is higher than most people, and if he is able to play even at 75 or 80%, he is going to play. Others will argue that Montreal is far out of the playoff picture, basically needing to win 80 to 85% of their games to have any type of hope, which is just not plausible. We're starting Carey Price as much as we can. Just kiss the season goodbye. But again, we want to entertain the fans. We got 82 games. Let's just hope there are no long-term effects to this injury. Number two, speaking of injuries, a very scary moment on Monday evening from the Daytona 500 at the very end. Ryan Newman in a spectacular crash with flames. He is fine. Everything is all right. Some scary moments. Everybody was a Ryan Newman fan for a while. Denny Hamlin captures his third Daytona 500, becomes the fourth driver to win multiple Daytona 500s, the big race as the NASCAR season gets kicked off from down south for all you NASCAR fans. Number three, back to the NHL. Toffoli has been traded to the Canucks. The LA Kings continue to be sellers, flushing their lineup, and Toffoli was rumored he was atop the list of candidates ready to go. So the Los Angeles Kings dealt Tyler Toffoli to the Vancouver Canucks. Heading back to the Kings are prospects Taylor Madden, forward Tim Schaller, a 2020 second-round pick, and a conditional 2022 fourth-round pick. In 58 games this season, Toffoli has 18 goals and 16 assists for 34 points. The sure-handed offensive forward can be nothing but a great addition to Vancouver, who's been a little surprising this year, and if you look, those Western teams are doing great. Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. Hopefully Edmonton can ride out the McDavid injury, but they got Drysdale to lead on. But it's great to see all those Western Alberta teams and the BC team doing great in the West. Number four, two trade deadline. So everybody's talking about the NHL and the trade deadline coming up. Atop the list of trade bait board, if you look on TSN, the top five players, you got Chris Kreider coming in at number one, Sammy Vatanen for the New Jersey Devils at two, Gabriel Jean-Gabriel Pageau at 3 from the Ottawa Senators. You got Alec Martinez, another Los Angeles King for sale, and Brendan Dillon from the San Jose Sharks. Let's go to Brendan Dillon now, and somebody better call the ambulance. We'll be back.
You know, for us, I like being here. Try to play hard every night. It's gone out of my control. Excuse.
It's okay there, bud. It's going to be okay there, bud. There's a very emotional Brendan Dillon at just the thought of leaving the San Jose Sharks. They have, of course, lost Erik Karlsson to a thumb injury for the rest of the season. Looking to shed some contract. A lot of the NHL teams become buyers and sellers. Ooh, moving to number 5. Here is a team that has not become a seller. The Tampa Bay Lightning win their 11th straight. They're back. After just a shocking first-round exit from the playoffs last year and a very slow start to the season, it finally appears that Steven Stamkos and the boys down in Tampa Bay have their stuff together. They got Kucherov, they got Vasilevsky in nets, Victor Hedman. Of course, just a powerhouse that left everybody scratching their head as to why they were doing so poorly to start, but they have won 11 straight. They are joining the Boston Bruins atop the standings in that conference and look for them to be a force. Let's just see what happens when the playoffs come. But the way that they're playing now, holy shnikes, they are borderline unstoppable. So, I mean, good on them, and let's hope for them to continue their role. Speaking of continue their role, number 6, we go to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, and the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. Team Canada, Chelsea Carey defeated Alberta's Laura Walker 7-5 on Tuesday morning at the Scotties as she continues to roll along. So we're going to jump to the standings. So as of Tuesday, the standings were Manitoba undefeated 4-0, Northern Ontario 3-2, Saskatchewan 3-1, Alberta 3-2, Canada 3-2, PEI 3-2. Just a big logjam. The teams to watch out for. Kerry Ernison playing very well in Manitoba. Has yet to lose yet, but there's a crossover. Rachel Holman has lost one, but look for Ontario. Look for Team Canada, Chelsea Carey. Look for Ernison, as well as Walker playing some great curling out of the West. Quebec, unfortunately, yet to win a game on the Schneid, but another big notable game. Team Nunavut winning their first game, winning on Tuesday morning, getting their second career win overall at the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. They've only been around for a couple years, but good on them and good on TSN as you want to see some national women's curling coverage on TSN from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan.
Yeah, we played really, really well. We put a really strong game together, and hopefully we can just keep doing that for the rest of the week.
Was that your best performance so far here?
100% by all four of us, I would say. Jesse curled really well last night, and the rest of us curled good enough. But yes, as a team, it was a solid performance. Yeah, and I think we knew that. You know, sometimes when you know a team is playing really well, you know you have to bring your A game and curl really well to keep up. So it almost makes you bring your performance up a little bit. 100%, getting 3 was huge there, right? Then it put us up 2 instead of just getting 2 and being up 1. So you just felt more in control that end, or after that end.
We made some great shots, and we made some horrible shots. But that's the way curling goes sometimes. And we battled through. They played a phenomenal game. And yeah, we just need to get a little bit sharper, and we know we can. We just throw it on the ice every game, and we made some really great shots, and we're excited about getting that win and moving forward.
Entertaining again. Very exciting, right to the last rock, and you know, we're finding ways to win games, and just got to be a little bit sharper, but happy with where we're at. Yeah, Caitlin made a great come around, as good as she could have made, and hers literally slid 1 inch too far. So I thought she had made it, and Caitlin swept it and kept going and worked out well for us.
Next question. Ooh, speaking of dodging questions, we are going to go to the Houston Astros. They continue to get railed by everybody. Everybody banging on the drum, as we say, coming out. Just some people want to fight them. Some people want their stripped of their ring. Some people want Altuve stripped of his MVP. He's wearing buzzers. The social media, was it a tattoo? Carrera said he had a tattoo. Altuve had a tattoo. That's why they didn't want to rip his shirt off. But then he said before that his wife didn't want him to be seen with his shirt off. All very contradictory, all very confusing, which is what this story is. Just all very, very confusing. People are lying. They are going to get caught. I mean, in this era, you are going to get caught. It's interesting to see what happens. Let's keep moving on. Grapefruit League action is going to start. All the players are starting to report to camp. So baseball season is right around the corner. They're projecting the Astros to get beaned 80 to 90 times this year. So they're saying that that's one per game. They're going to get hit by the pitch. Keep an eye on that. It is going to be a wacky season for those Houston Astros. If they lose, people are going to say it's because they weren't cheating. If they win, people are going to accuse them of cheating again. It is not over, folks. To number nine, we go to the Sherbrooke Phoenix as they continue their winning ways, folks. We go all the way back to the last time they lost was the 1st of February. Since then, they played February 8th, winning 5-3 in Charlottetown. Then on the 9th, winning in Halifax 3-1. Continuing that role on the 10th, 3 days, three W's with a 9-4 victory in Akadzie Bathurst. They finally came home on the 13th to take home the Drummondville Voltigeur, winning 6-4. And then on the 16th, a couple days after Valentine's Day, it was a lovely win for them as they won 4-1 against the Blainville Brabriand Armada. They are now heading up to Victoriaville on the 20th to take on Les Tigres, and then they host the Gatineau Olympique back here at the Sports Palace, Leopold Dore. The Gatineau Olympique are in town. They're on a long homestand after that on the 21st, the 23rd, the 26th, all playing at the Sports Palace, 7, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. respectively. For tickets, info, all that, en.hockeyphoenix.ca. So congratulations to them. As we move to number 10, we continue along with the Bishop's University Provigo Lafond Athletes of the Week. We got Yassin Nagy for the men's basketball team, and we got Amakeen Siciliano for the women's team. They earned Bishop's Athlete of the Week honors for February 17th of 2020. Going to the scoreboard, February 16th, the women's soccer team hosted Carleton University, losing 1-0. The men's basketball team were victorious versus Laval here in Mitchell Gymnasium on the 13th, 95-92, and the women falling to the Laval squad on the 13th at 6 p.m., 71-70 in a super, super tight game. If you want to continue on, both the men's and women's basketball teams are in the playoffs. We will be hosting Concordia February 20th, 2020, right here from Mitchell Gymnasium. The ladies, the women's team tips off at 6 p.m. and the men's team tipping off at 8 p.m. So there we have it. We are done into first and 10. It is time to jump to our first musical interlude. We got Dingo's flashback track, and we got a little Chris Stapleton for you here on 88.9 CJMQ. You're listening to The Show.
She took down a photograph of our wedding day, ripped it down the middle and threw my half away, and I got nobody to blame but me. I got nobody to blame. Me. She broke all my fishing rods, put my guns in hock, threw my clothes out in the yard and changed out all the locks, and I got nobody to blame but me. I got nobody to blame but me. Blame but me. I got
Nissin Neji, Gators fifth year senior, 18 points, 9 rebounds tonight. Gators beat Laval in a thrilling 95-92 victory. First of all, talk about this game.
It was a tough game. Against Laval, it's always tough. We had a tough, the first week we came back after a bye week, we lost twice against them. They matched up very well with us. And it was just a battle. They're in the last place. It was their only chance to make it to the playoff. And it was just a hustle game. It wasn't pretty, but we made it. We did it.
You got it done. And with the 2 points, you clinch a playoff spot. You return to the playoff. What's that mean for this group of guys?
It means a lot. We went through a lot. It's been 5 years. My first 3 years were really tough. It was a real grind. And get to this situation. It was us last year, too. We had to win all our games. So we know how it felt like. And We were like, Lava's going to do the same thing. And they hit some big shots, and now we clinched the playoff spot. It's not over. It's just the beginning now.
And there you have it, folks. There is the BU Athlete of the Week, Yazin Nadri, playing amazing with a huge victory for your Gators. Check him out on the 20th, and check them out in the playoffs as they have qualified. As we look at the time, we got about 10 minutes to go in the first half hour. It is time for David Guetta, it is time for Sia, and the Titanium Take of the Townships. Hit it! I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, ricochet, you take your aim. Far away, shoot me down, power bone. I am titanium. For today's Titanium Take of the Townships, we go to a little bit of a motivational one. When Tim Tebow was asked if he's ever experienced doubt in his journey from the NFL to his goal of playing in the major leagues, he had this to say.
Yeah, of course. It'd be a lie to say no. I think it's what do you do with that doubt? What do you do with the uncertainty? Or what do you do when you feel like you know, you're struggling at something? And I think that that's important, because I think we all have that in our lives at places and times when we're going through things, and ultimately a lot more important situations in sports. But I think that's when you have to go back to, why are you doing this? Are you having fun doing it? Do you love doing it? All of those things, and then have a mindset to continue to work. And so where you don't let the doubt or the uncertainty control your mind and your mentality, because there's a lot of things in life that you get thrown into where you're uncertain about. But I think that's where faith and determination and perseverance really come into play, not when things are going really well.
I highly recommend you take 60 seconds and listen to his response. That's all the Titanium Take is. This guy had all kinds of doubters, was possibly one of the best quarterbacks in the history of college football. Everybody doubted that he could be a quarterback in the National Football League. They drove him out of the league, and now he's been pursuing his dream of becoming a Major League Baseball player with the New York Mets down in their single A, double A, triple A system. Everybody's been doubting him. And I mean, put all the religious stuff aside, whether you're religious or not, this positive attitude is just so refreshing in today's era. So if we can do anything, maybe take a little bit of inspiration from Tim Tebow and his can-do attitude. For today's Titanium Take, here on a Wednesday morning in the Eastern Townships, in the borough of Sherbrooke, I'm your host, Matt McCray. Just take note and maybe give someone a high five and a kind word today. Hey, give yourself a high five and a kind word. Because why? Because we all get sad sometimes. Let's try to be a little like Tim Tebow. Have a great day, and listen to this. We'll be back through the halfway mark. We got Take Me Home, all local news, some great audio clips, the NBA All-Star Game, the trade deadline is approaching, and we go back to Moose Jaw and the Scotties Tournament of Hearts. We'll be back. I'm bulletproof, nothing to lose. Far away, ricochet, you take your aim.
Get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll feeling in your bones. Put taps on your toes and get gone, get rhythm. When you get the blues,
A little shoeshine boy, he never gets low down, but he's got the dirtiest job in town, bending low at the people's feet on a windy corner of a dirty street. Well, I asked him while he shined my shoes how'd he keep from getting the blues. He grinned as he raised his little head, he popped his shoeshine rag, and then he said, get rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get rhythm. When you get the blues, a jumpy rhythm makes you feel so fine. It'll shake all your trouble from your worried mind. Get a rhythm when you get the blues. Get a rhythm when you get the blues. Come on, get a rhythm when you get the blues. Get a rock and roll feeling in your bones, put taps on your toes, get gone, get a rhythm when you get the blues. Well, I sat and I listened to the shoeshine boy, and I thought I was gonna jump with joy. Slapped on the shoe polish left and right, he took his shoeshine rag and he held it tight. He stopped once to wipe the sweat away. I said, you mighty little boy to be a-working that way. He said, I like it, with a big wide grin. Kept on a-popping and he said again, get rhythm when you get the blues. Come on, get rhythm when you get the blues. It only cost a dime, just a nickel a shoe. It does $1 million worth of good for you. Get rhythm when you get the blues.
Festive weekend in the Windy City. We welcome you to the United Center, the home of the Chicago Bulls. The 2020 NBA All-Star Game, presented by Kia. It's the 69th annual NBA All-Star Game, with Team LeBron going against Team Giannis. 9 first-time All-Stars on hand tonight. Embiid and Davis on the opening tip. And it's handled by LeBron. Met by Antetokounmpo. And here's LeBron whipping cross-court. Kawhi Leonard, yes! From.
Now remember, this is like 4 individual games going on here for charity here.
Davis for 3.
What a start for AD.
Davis for 3 with a rainbow. And back tap by LeBron. Another opportunity. Leonard for 3! Kawhi Leonard. Now here's LeBron to the rim, and he is fouled.
He took on 4 red jerseys and took them all on a trip.
And Reggie, what an impressive move, spinning in transition.
Embiid takes him down low, lost his footing, may have traveled.
We got a call. Foul on LeBron. That from coaches, Grant. Can you play defense without fouling?
LeBron played by Giannis.
Captains guarding one another.
Here's the pass to Davis, and we got a whistle. A foul is called. So Davis to the line. He can win it on at the foul line.
It is over. That's what LeBron is saying.
Anthony Davis, an 85% free throw shooter.
Love is a riddle, I don't know where to go. Can't do it alone, I've tried, and I don't know.
Tune in every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. and again on Wednesdays for a brand new show, 11 a.m. to noon, twice a week, here on 88.9 CJMQ, The Show.
And just enjoy the show.
Involuntary spasm! Look at the show! Enjoy the show!
Involuntary spasm! Look at the show! Enjoy the show! Woo! Welcome back to the show. We are at the halfway mark of the hour. You've been a wonderful listener. I am your host, Matt McCray, and this is Sports Talk in the Eastern Townships. The major leagues are still rumbling over the Houston Astros and the cheating scandal. They're press conference, I use air quotes, with Jim Crane, their president, just embarrassing himself. Altuve embarrassing himself. Carrera, less embarrassing. Bregman, They've been surprisingly silent, getting immunity, and they are guiltier than they are letting on. But don't take my word for it. We're going to go to the major leagues. We're going to hear from Mike Trout. We're going to hear from Clayton Kershaw. We're going to hear from Chapman's translator. We're going to hear from a bunch of Major League Baseball stars. How do they feel about it? They're upset. They're mad. And we hear Clayton Kershaw, and he just doesn't know what to think. That's pretty much where my thinking is on the matter. It's frustrating. You can't get them all, but you can't give the players immunity when it was an immunity-driven league. A lot of people are talking about MLB Commissioner Manfred calling the Major League Baseball trophy a piece of metal. I mean, that's supposed to be the pinnacle of your sport. Can you really see anybody calling the Stanley Cup just a piece of metal? People would go crazy. If Bettman, who's already the most hated commissioner in any sport, might have a rival now because of how Manfred's been handling this. A lot of people have been up in arms about what he said about the trophy. I mean, the World Series trophy, it's the commissioner's trophy. It's the trophy presented each year by the commissioner of baseball to the major league that wins the World Series. The trophy design contains flag representing each of North America's top two leagues, the National League and the American League, but he's calling it just a piece of metal. That is, not good. Justin Turner from the Dodgers blasted Manfred, other players up in arms. We're going to go to the Major League players and we're going to hear what they have to say about how Major League Baseball has been handling this, how the Astros have been handling it. I'll give you a hint, two words, not good.
What a disgrace that was. Just watching their apology yesterday too, there's no sincerity, there's no genuineness when it comes to it.
What are your thoughts on what the Astros did yesterday?
I thought the apologies were whatever. I thought Jim Crane's was weak. I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. These guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us.
When you know the signs that you know was coming, especially at this level of baseball, you know, we have some of the most talented baseball players in the world. You know, and as hitters, if they have an edge, an advantage, knowing what's coming, it's just going to make them stronger.
I think we were prepared going in there, and we heard things. We didn't know exactly what happened, but I don't know. It's a little frustrating when you look at it and you see kind of who they hurt and people that they hurt with the decisions that they did make. So it seems like it's not done yet. So.
Take on all these apologies coming out of the Astros camp.
Yeah, you know, I saw it yesterday, and I knew I was going to get asked, and I was thinking about it a lot, and to be honest, I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. Some of those guys seemed remorseful. Some of those guys said the right things, gave a good apology, and that's great. I'll move on with that. And then you get the owner up there saying some dumb stuff, and it's like, what? It's like, what's going on? You know, it's just, how can you be that ignorant to the situation? So, I don't really know what to make of it all anymore. So I think, honestly, I just don't even know what to say about it. So
it's sad for baseball. It's tough. You know, they cheated, and I don't agree with the punishments. You know, the player's not getting anything. You know, there was a player-driven thing. It sucks too, because, you know, like you said, a guy's career has been affected. A lot of people, lost jobs. It was tough. You know, it would be me going up to the plate knowing what's coming. It'd be pretty fun up there. So, it's just, like I said, it's a lot of guys lost respect for some of the guys. And, you know, it seems like every day something new comes out. So themselves. Just trying to explain what happened. You know, you read a lot of stuff in the paper, and, you know, once you read something, a lot of people jump to that conclusion, but sometimes it's right, sometimes it's false. It's like I said, it was a tough off season to see that, you know, as a baseball player, and you just hope Major League Baseball cleans it up, and we play good baseball from here on out. If you know what's coming, it's gonna definitely help you. I think that's, it's tough. You're taking a trophy away, taking the rings away. I think they should definitely do something. I don't know what, but to just to cheat like that and not get anything, it's sad to see.
Was Neil Young with Rockin' in the Free World, going out to the Houston Astros. Keep on cheating in the major leagues. A lot of upset players grumpy players. Well, I'm going to try to lighten the mood a little bit. We're not going to talk about cheating in baseball anymore. Let's go to a little bit of a lighter mood. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to the dog show. Yeah, the dog show that takes place, the Westminster Annual Dog Show from New York. We're going to go to a plucky young Siberian husky named Lobo, who didn't want to listen to his master and caught the mind and the hearts of the crowds as he refused. He just did his own thing. He was a good boy. Lobo was a good boy. But becoming a fan favorite, anybody who wanted to check that out, it was February 10th and 11th from Madison Square Garden, New York, New York, MSG. Hey, it's just like a top-rated boxing match from MSG or a hockey game of the Rangers. Yeah, it's the dog show. For all you dog enthusiasts and you dog lovers out there, side note, keep your dog on a leash, pick up their poop. And with that, we are going to jump to an audio clip of Lobo being a very good boy. But not such a good boy in catching the hearts and the minds of the people in New York. We'll be back.
So we're halfway through the 24-inch class, and the next dog in is Lobo, a Siberian husky, handled by Alan Davis from Penn Argyle, Pennsylvania.
Graham seemed very surprised.
Yes!
And I, even as a University of Oregon graduate, I could say, what a beautiful dog this is.
This is an absolutely beautiful dog.
But can he be fast? Can he be clean? Can he be a champion?
Allen taking a lead out here. Low.
Saw that camera.
Boom! Oh, come on, Lobo. Get back on track. Get back on track, buddy. There we go. There we go. Here's the weave pulse. Stay.
Lobo doesn't seem too dialed into this tonight.
I tell you, there you go, Lobo. There we go. Oh. Okay, Alan's saying enough's enough. Let's just go. Let's just have some fun. You know, Lobo's like, you know, I've got the top down. I'm heading down Pacific Coast Highway. I'm chilling.
Where's my stuff?
Maybe there's something up there for me. Okay, fine. Okay, Dad, here we go.
Have you ever seen a dog fight like this?
Oh, there's been several of them. You always get one every year, and it looks like this time it's Lobo. Lobo's going to be the crowd favorite, I guarantee it. Okay, what's going on? Everybody looking at me? Is that my good side? Get these last two jumps. Alan, oh, that's it. Fine.
At this point,
we're good to go.
Don't worry about it.
We're good to go.
There we go, Lobo.
Thank you.
And welcome back. That was Neil Young with Heart of Gold. And before that, with a Heart of Gold, it was a plucky Siberian Husky named Lobo at the Westminster Kennel Dog Club show, all breed show, hosted in New York. It's been going on since 1877. Currently, the breed and junior showmanship competitions are hosted at Pier 92 and 94, while the group and best in show competitions take place at MSG. Madison Square Gardens taking place on February 10th and 11th. So congratulations to everybody, and congratulations to Lobo. He's a good boy. Yes, he is. As we look at the time, we got 10 to 15 minutes left. Thank you again for joining me here on the airwaves in the borough of Sherbrooke. You can listen to us online at cjmq.fm. You got Cube News. You got weather. You can fill out a survey. You got Quebec news, national news, world news. You got the top 10 tracks of the week. We got our shows and interviews that are posted. You can request on-air special requests. Give us a call, 819-822-1838. You can make a donation. And again, you can become a member. You can just listen online. Just check us out. I have been your host, Matt McRae. Thank you again for joining me. We got a mixed bag. We're going to go back to Montreal. We're going to hear from Wolverine, Mr. Shea Weber, Carey Price, and Claude Julien. Again, we got a classic clip back from 2017 where the cutest kid on the planet asked Roger Federer why they call him a goat and if they have goats in Switzerland and livestock. Just some of the cutest stuff going, and a mixed bag of stuff as we close out the show. Thank you for joining me. You've been a wonderful listener. You can hear me every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. or again with a brand new show at this time right now, 11 to noon. We also re-air Thursday night at 7 p.m. and Saturday at 5 p.m. respectively if you want to catch those shows. So again, I've been your host, Matt McRae. This has been Sports Talk in the Eastern Townships. You've tuned into 88.9 FM. That is the Cube on your radio dial. If your radio still has a dial, thank you again for joining me. We'll be back next week. Peace. Be good to yourself and one another. I'm out.
Hello.
Switzerland is really cold, right?
Not always, but most of the time.
So there isn't too much livestock. So why do they all why do they call you the goat?
I don't know what. some fans call me that. I don't call myself that, but yeah, we have a lot of animals in Switzerland, and goats are part of the livestock we have over there. Yes.
Jordan, you mean jump from the free throw line?
Yep.
Oh, he's gonna do the logo, the new logo. Goodness, that's a windmill for one step inside. He's mad because he did it so hard, but it's still a 50, brother.
It is.
I mean, it's still a 50. Still a 50. Because he's one step in. He's only one step in. He's mad at himself. He's mad at himself,
oh,
man.
Look at that.
He's one step in.
Look
Come
at
on,
that.
Man.
That's graceful too.
Candace, no,
oh, man.
Candace Parker,
somewhere Dominique is.
Oh, that is not.
Someone go put a mic in front of Dominique Wilkins.
They're looking at each other's scores too.
No. Man, this is easy.
Oh my goodness.
He lost?
Oh, that ain't right.
That ain't right, man.
Come on, man. This ain't right.
Boo!
Are you kidding me? This ain't right.
Boo! Boo!
Oh, this ain't right.
Boo! That's a highway robbery.
That's highway robbery.
This is 1988 all over again.
This is highway robbery.
His trophy to the winner of the 2020 AT&T Slam Dunk from the Miami Heat, Derrick Jones Jr.
What are we doing, man? What's going on? Exactly. What are we doing, man? What kind of, who set the dunk contest up, man? Who set this up? All right, what's up?
You ready?
Yeah.
Sharon Blakely, NBC Sports Boston. Just obviously, this was a great back and forth between you two. In that last session, you decided to bring Taco Fall into the mix. Take us through the decision to add Taco to the mix, and were you as surprised as some were with the judging?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I wanted to jump over Shaq. He didn't want to do it. So, you know. It was really for the people. You know, everybody was like, Taco, Taco. It's like, all right, cool, let's do it, man. The tallest dude in the gym. Jumping over somebody that's 7'5". Or how tall you about that tall?
7'5" with no shoes.
Yeah, 7'5". Jumping over somebody 7'5" and dunking it. There's no easy feat. You know what I mean? So what I get, like a 47?
47.
Come on, man. What are we doing?
I don't listen. I shouldn't say I don't listen to timelines, but my goal is to get back as soon as possible. And when I feel like I can help the team, then I'll come back. And at this point, I feel good enough to help out and just keep going that way. There's a lot to it. It's not, there's obviously functionality and pain levels and pain tolerance. And right now, it's in a good spot. So just taking it day by day. The biggest thing, you don't want any long-term thing, especially after what happened last time. I think at this point we're confident that it's just a listening to your body type of thing, and then hopefully shouldn't draw on and make anything worse.
He's a tough customer. You know, he's obviously got a big impact on our locker room, and we'll see. He looks really good out there, actually. He's skating well, moving the puck, and you know, doing shade things out there.
I think his improvement has been unbelievable. And at the same time, the swelling's gone down. I'm not going to tell you he doesn't feel any pain, but like I said, he's a pretty special athlete. He plays through a lot. Medically, they don't seem to think that if he's capable of handling that, there should be no issues of him playing.
My phone blew up with a ton of text messages, and I had no idea what anyone was even talking about. And then obviously saw the doctor, and then kind of found out after I saw the doctor what had happened. So just kind of weird. Obviously didn't really, you know, all these people were telling me something that I didn't even know yet, but I don't know. It's just a weird situation because I didn't even know anything yet, and people were telling me that I was done.
Call Braves win, say something. It's to say nothing.